It's important because the Raphael cartoons are some of the greatest pictures ever made. I mean, they are fundamentally important also as designs for tapestries. Before the Raphael cartoons, tapestries still generally had a kind of medieval appearance. Raphael introduced high Renaissance style to tapestry design. So they're a kind of fundamental hinge, if you like, in the history of tapestry. Also, of course, they're extremely important as part of the decor of the Sistine Chapel.
How did the idea for reuniting the cartoons and the tapestries come about?
I can certainly tell you that it's something that I've long dreamed of, but I never thought would be possible to arrange. And when Professor Nesselrat at the Vatican Museums rang us at the beginning of this year suggesting, it really took a while for it to sink in, but the proposal was made to us by the Vatican Museums. And of course, we immediately accepted with alacrity, because to be able to bring these two sister works of art together after 500 years is an unique achievement. And I'm absolutely thrilled that we've been able to do it.
Right. Tell us about these four tapestries that you've got from the Vatican Museums, illustrating the lives and acts of St. Peter and St. Paul. They're four in number, aren't they? Can you very briefly describe them for us?
Yes, there are in fact 10 tapestries in the complete set. There were originally 10 cartoons, but only 7 cartoons have survived and have come down to this day. The four tapestries that we've been sent from the Vatican Museums, 3 of them depict the stories of St. Peter, and 1 of them is from the cycle depicting the story of St. Paul. And we start with the miraculous draught of fishes, where Peter and Andrew are fishing, and the miracle occurs of the miraculous draught, and Peter goes down on his knees before Christ, who blesses him. This is the first image in the Petrine cycle. The next image is variously known as Christ's charge to Peter, and also as Feed My Sheep. And that's the moment when Christ acknowledges Peter before the other apostles as the rock on which I will build my church, and the keys are transferred to the saint. And the third of the Petrine tapestries is the healing of the lame man, which shows Peter and John healing the lame man before the gates of the temple in Jerusalem. The fourth tapestry is from the Pauline series, and it depicts the miracle of St. Paul and St. Barnabas at Lystra, when Paul restores another lame man, and the crowd believe wrongly that he is a god, and this is a criticism of idolatry. So those are the four tapestries, which correspond each with an identical cartoon, but of course the cartoons are in reverse in relationship to the tapestries.
It was Pope Leo X who commissioned the tapestries to hang in the Sistine Chapel. Do we know more about his decision and his choice of Raphael for this?
Leo X was the son of Lorenzo de' Medici, the Lorenzo the Magnificent, the ruler of Florence in the 15th century. So he was brought up, you know, in one of the great art patronizing families in the world. When he became Pope, his predecessor had been Julius II della Rovere. And it was Julius II who had first hired Raphael to work in the Vatican. But the centerpiece of Julius's patronage was the Sistine Chapel. And it had been decorated by a number of great Florentine painters, including Perugino, who was Raphael's own teacher. But of course, the huge transformation of the Sistine Chapel was effected by Michelangelo, when he was commissioned by Julius II to paint the famous Sistine ceiling. Julius then died, and Leo became Pope. Leo then engaged Raphael to beautify the Sistine Chapel further. At this point, the only area of the chapel that was left undecorated were the lower parts of the walls. And so, not to be outdone by his predecessor, Julius, Leo decided to decorate these with a spectacular cycle of tapestries. Now, at this time in the Renaissance, tapestries were the most spectacular and expensive form of decoration that was known. The reason was quite simply that they were woven out of wool, silk, gold, and silver thread. It took up to a year to make a single tapestry, and the finest were made in Brussels by the weavers such as Peter van Alst. So Leo made the extraordinarily imaginative decision to bring together Raphael, the great Italian designer, famous, of course, as a fresco painter, and the Flemish weavers. And the result was unique.
Now, you said it was very laborious and lengthy work to complete each tapestry. I read that Raphael was paid the sum of 1,000 ducats for the 10 designs, for the 10 tapestries that were then completed. I mean, how much money was that in real terms?
Well, it's extremely difficult to compare 16th century prices with those today. But we understand that Raphael was paid, as you say, about 1,000 ducats, which would have been 100 ducats each for the designs, for the cartoons. But the overall cost of the cycle, including the weaving of the tapestries, was far greater than that, probably 16,000 ducats. So you see, you can compare the price that it was about 100 to design a cartoon, but about 1,500 to then weave a tapestry from it. And this total figure in the region of 16,000 ducats, as we believe, is 3.5 times what Michelangelo was paid for painting the Sistine ceiling. So it was a hugely expensive and ambitious undertaking.
What kind of reaction did the tapestries at the Sistine Chapel get when they were first put on display back in that time of Raphael?
The first record we have of them is actually while they were still being woven in Brussels, and they were viewed by the Cardinal of Aragon. And he said that they were extraordinary works of art. But when they were unveiled on St. Stephen's Day, which was the 26th, of December in 1519, they were greeted as miraculous. I mean, we know from the papal master of ceremonies that they had a spectacular reception.
Originally, there were 16 tapestries commissioned, but only 10 were completed, and a lot of them, of course, got lost over the course of the history. I mean, they have had quite a checkered history. Do we know about the history of these four ones that are on display right now at the V&A?
It seems likely that the decision was originally to commission 16 tapestries. We say this because the Cardinal of Aragon mentions this when he first saw them being made, and because simply there are 16 spaces on the walls where they could be accommodated. But as far as we can tell, only 10 were ever made. The problem perhaps was partly that Raphael himself died in 1520 and Pope Leo the following year in 1521. And we do know that at the time of Leo's death, the papal treasury was empty. So empty, in fact, that the tapestries had to be temporarily pawned in order to pay for the conclave to elect the next pope. Shortly after that, in 1527, in the sack of Rome, a number of the tapestries were looted and taken away from Rome. It looks as though at least two, possibly more than that, went on an extraordinary round trip via Tunisia to Istanbul, where they were purchased by a middleman and came into the hands of Anne de Montmorency, the Constable of France. But he returned them to Rome in, I think, the 1550s. So after many adventures, the cycle seems to have been together again in Rome by the middle of the 16th century. And as for the cartoons, they remained in the Low Countries. They were later transferred to Italy, to Genoa, where Charles I, the King of England, bought them in 1623. So the cartoons then came to England. So they had a more peaceful history, if you like. And then they eventually were lent by the Royal Collection to the Victoria and Albert Museum in 1865.
And how much interest was shown by art lovers and the public in the run-up to this exhibition, which I gather has been offered free of charge?
Well, a huge amount, if we can judge from the press coverage and the advance bookings of tickets for the exhibition. We've also had quite a full post bag, I think, of comments, and people have drawn new things to our attention. I mean, one correspondent wrote to me about some sculptural reliefs made after the Raphael cartoons in the early 19th century, which I was previously unaware.
Apparently, this ongoing exhibition also includes a small number of other loans from the Vatican Museums, the Apostolic Vatican Museums, and other places
Yes.
within the Vatican. What are they exactly?
Lenders have been extraordinarily generous, and in addition to the four tapestries, we also have two pilasters. These are a decorative long, thin, woven tapestries, also designed by Raphael, which separated one tapestry from the next. So they're like a kind of architectural adornment made of tapestry. Also, there's one of the spectacular choir books which were made for Leo X, and these were choir books which were used by the choir singing in the Sistine Chapel, and this choir book is from the Vatican Apostolic Library, and it includes a miniature of the Pope and his coat of arms. We also have, from the Vatican, one of the Papal Master of Ceremonies diaries, and this is the diary of Paris de Grassis, who was the master of ceremonies for Pope Leo X. And this includes an account of the unveiling of the tapestries in 1519. In addition to these Vatican loans, the Royal Collection in England has lent us three of Raphael's preparatory drawings for the cartoons, and the Musée du Louvre in Paris has lent us four more. So we've been able to bring together a group of seven of these exquisite preparatory drawings, mainly done in red chalks, which show the original designs. So you can see every stage of the process, from these exquisite drawings about 30 or 40 centimeters across to the huge cartoons 5 meters wide, and from that to the tapestries which were woven from them.